This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2022, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders Educational Programs on March 24 and 25, 2022, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Well, good morning and greetings in the name of the Lord God of hosts. I'll be honest with you, I'm just honored and actually humbled that you are here in this session. There's many other men and women in this place, many of them I would love to have listened to during this session as well. I was asking myself this week, what do I have to say to each one of you? What do I have that is different than what some of the other men are saying? Why would people come to my session? And I guess the thought just came over my mind. This is really all I have to say to you today in one sentence. And it's the words that Apostle Peter spoke to a lame man when he was in a temple one day. He just said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And I guess that's maybe the essence of what I want to talk to each one of you about today, is I would just love to say to each one of you, I just have a passion to see you rise up and walk, to walk into your destiny, to walk with humility, to walk with purpose, to walk with wisdom, and ultimately, honestly, underneath in the core of my heart, I just want to see you walk in a very, very deep way with God through your life, whatever age you're at, to continue that and walk it forward in a deeper way. I have three things that I want to talk to you about today, and I believe that these would be things that God would actually be saying to every single one of us in this audience. Three things that have been really on my heart lately, and I'm going to just list them out here. The three things are: you are chosen, you have an assignment, and if you're going to walk in those assignments and to walk fully in those assignments, you need a team. So let me just talk first on the point of being chosen. You know, each one of us is chosen, but sometimes we don't always understand what that actually really means for each one of us. And at the risk of talking too much about myself, I'm going to just share something from my past that maybe some of you here can relate to. When I was a youth, when I was in grade school, I saw the scene played out over and over in my life. We would go out at recess, and I was a small, short, very weak individual, and we would go out at recess, and the two best players would usually be chosen for captains of teams, and they would start picking players, and I had the dubious distinction of always being chosen last, one by one. Everyone would get chosen, and I would be the last person, and in fact, I often remember the teams actually kind of fighting about who had to take me. They knew it's going to be a detriment to their team. You know, that was an example of not being chosen. I remember just feeling like, I'm not even chosen. I'm not even wanted here. You know, but as I took that, and it was a hard thing in my life, and I went into my 20s very not full of confidence. And there was a point in my life where I realized I'm not where I want to be with God, and I began to seek God in a deeper way. And I remember during that time period, I started reading through the book of John, and I would just read a chapter day after day. And at one point in time, I came to John 15. And in John 15, there was a verse that God spoke to me that day that I want to share with you. John 15:16 says, and this is what, I remember where I was when God specifically said this to me. He said, and out of John 15, verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Very, very powerful verse. And why am I sharing this about my story and about my life and what God said to me? The reason is because I believe God is saying this. Jesus was saying this. He's saying this to every single one of us, to every single one of you in the audience. He wants to tell you that the same thing is true of you. You are chosen. You are chosen by God. And if there's any doubt, if there's any doubt in your mind, stop and just think about the fact that God has a history of choosing people. And if you will look through the Bible, you will read in the Bible, you will see that over and over and over again. So God, first he chose Adam, created him, chose him, and then he chose Eve to walk with Adam. And as he began, as she walked with him, the human race continued. And then there was Noah. God chose him to build an ark. And then he chose Abraham, and through Abraham, Isaac, and then he chose Jacob. And ultimately, some of that came down from that line, he chose Samuel to be a prophet for him. And then he chose Saul, and when Saul began to walk away from him, he chose David because he knew that he would be a man after his own heart. And he began to choose more people further as people fell away from him, he chose the prophets, Jeremiah. He chose Isaiah. He chose Elijah. He chose Elisha. He chose Daniel. And if you think it's just men that he chose Esther because she was put on the world for such a time as this, for a specific time and place. And then he chose Ruth. Ruth that is even in the lineage of Christ, even though she was not a Jew by birth. And ultimately he chose Mary and Joseph, and they were chosen to guide his special son that he was sending to the earth. And then Jesus Christ, look at that. He chose people as well. He chose 12 disciples and he walked with them. And then there was another group of people that were chosen after Christ went to glory. They were in an upper room when tongues of fire came down. He chose them and he anointed them. And you know, if you really look, the whole resurrection and the whole the cross was there because he chose the whole world and he chose each one of you. He's been choosing people, but you have to get that in your mind. So whether you believe it or not, I just want you to stop and fully think about it, that you are chosen from God. God has a choosing that took place when you were born, and he wants to empower you to bear fruit if you will submit to his lordship. And I wonder really, if you think about it, do you really fully realize how incredible of a concept it is that you were chosen by God? It means that God wants to do ministry through you. And in fact, it's like each one of you is the president of your own personal ministry. I'm not sure if I should even share this story, but years ago I was emailing someone, and in my youthful exuberance, I messaged and said, you know, I think I'm going to start Brent Baer International Ministries, because I had a call to other parts of the world. And I'll just be honest with you, I'm embarrassed to share that with you, because I tucked that little international thing in there because I thought it sounded big and exciting and God wants me to do things. But there's something that took place because of reading that verse in John that relates to what I said about Brent Baer International Ministries. What relates to that is there was a thinking change that changed in my heart. I want to just point you to a verse in Proverbs. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." And there's a slightly different context to this verse, but if you look at what is really being portrayed here, it's talking about a man that is acting out of what is in his heart. What he is thinking actually comes out in his actions. But each one of us will live out of what is coming out of what we really think about ourselves in our heart. So if you look at yourself as a small, insignificant person with no purpose, you will live out of that. You will begin to take actions that relate to that. Likely, you will have a lack of focus in your life. And many times this comes to pass in our youth years because we don't have focus and we just begin to focus on self and things that will pull to our needs and what we like and enjoy about life. And oftentimes in those years, the life path of each one of us is pushed into place. The path that we will all ultimately end up on 30 years from now and begin to bear fruit from takes place from that first thing where we find purpose in life. But if you can get a grasp of the fact that each one of us is chosen, that each one of us has a personal ministry, and that each one of you has a call, you will suddenly realize as you look at your life that you are placed in a specific place with specific parents that God put around you in a specific church and even in specific opportunities that are maybe unlike anything else that anyone else has ever had. And God is planning to use that through you to accomplish his purposes. Proverbs 29:18, a verse that is very commonly spoken. It says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." But you know what? The exact opposite of that is also true. Where there's a God-centered vision, then people are rescued. And that's what God has as a call for each one of us, is to walk into the world and be rescuers with a vision for what he wants to do in the world. So I'm going to just talk a little bit about what does it mean to be created. It means that you are created by God to rule and to manage and to build the kingdom of God. And it all starts with lining up your vision with what God has for you. And in a sense, becoming your own little personal mission and your own little personal ministry in and of itself. So I just want to point out to you that as they have, I kind of laughed just a little bit a couple times this week because I knew what I was going to be sharing, that as they told us there's 54 ministries represented in this building today, you know, in a sense, that's so far under the amount of ministries in this building, I can't even describe it. There's maybe 54 nonprofit ministries represented in this building, but there's hundreds of ministries represented in this building. There's several hundred just in this room, and then 1,000 elsewhere in this place. And each one of you is a part of that ministry. So I just want to think about a little bit, what does that mean? It means that you have a unique calling, specific gifting, and with a specific special life experiences that God's placed you in. But then the big question comes down to this. Will you be faithful with that calling that you have on your life? Will you be faithful and will you be obedient with that? Now, before I go on to my next point, I really want to just point out to you one thing. Some of you, as you're listening today, might be hearing something that you shouldn't be hearing. You might be hearing, well, this is just health and prosperity. God has you. It's all focused on you, and it's all focused on what God is doing in your life. You know, that is there is a focus on you slightly in this first point, but that is the farthest thing from my mind that I'm trying to portray to you and talk about you. The real thing that I want to talk about is what's taking place in a verse, Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And that just leads me into our second point. You as a person have an assignment, and this is where and you have multiple assignments, and this is where the rubber meets the road. You have an assignment, number one, to be obedient to what God has placed in your life. And you really don't have time to waste. I look at my life, and I have for years, as an hourglass that is there, and there's sand slipping down, and every grain of sand is another second and another minute. And if you really get a grasp of what that means for your life, it means that that the sands of your life are ticking away. And God only knows when the last sand drop is going to drop through that hourglass to get down through. You don't have time to waste. We must be about the kingdom, and we must be about building the kingdom of God. So let me just talk a little bit about that. This is the action part of the fact that you're chosen. So where in the world do you start? Where do you start with the fact that you're chosen? Well, I remember at one point when I got home from a Bible school that I was attending, and I was ready to conquer the world and do big things for God. And like I shared earlier, I had this idea that, you know, it's going to look big and I need to walk. And, you know, I remember saying to God, like, how do I start? And I suddenly realized that everything that I want to do takes money. And I don't know what to do about that unfortunate part of life. And God just said, well, you know, really, that's where you're supposed to start. That's the assignment that I have for you. It doesn't really look really, really as special, but it's just the assignment that I want for you right now. It's to fund your own personal ministry. The reason I even share that with you is because it was a radical shift from my mindset prior to that. Prior to that, I had wanted to be wealthy. I kept looking at the age of 30 and 40 when I would be able to take life easy if I did the right working and if I did the right investing. But it was a completely radical way of changing my thinking. Just the fact that I realized that I'm actually not funding myself. I'm funding a ministry that I'm called to be part of. And the why had changed. And so as I step into this next section, I'm going to give you some action points that I would really like you to think through as you consider what your assignments are. And the first action point I would like to just mention to you is to just think about what are your current assignments right now? What are the things that God is calling in your life right now? They don't have to be anything glamorous or anything big, but just a few assignments that I listed out in my mind are the things that God is calling you to do is just being in your home, being with your parents, being at work possibly, and ministering to people that are around you, being in your church and being fully engaged and fully there with your church, maybe walking with your church youth group, and then maybe God will even open up the doors in that situation that you will be able to go out and minister to others through that. You might go to an old people's home. You might go in any number of things, maybe a kids club that you can get involved with. This is all part of the personal assignments that God has for each one of us in our life. It's not anything way big and something way far out, but it's personal assignments. And, you know, some of those will take some oomph to get going. Sometimes you maybe don't feel like getting up and going to work, but that's all part of God learning to teach you to be diligent in your life. The overarching point that I'm trying to make here is that you would just stop and think about your activities, the things that you're involved in light of what God is doing in the world and in light of what God's kingdom involves. And now the next thing I want to talk to you about is, as you consider your current assignments and are being faithful with that, as you're doing that, we talked a little bit about maximizing your youth. The one way to maximize your youth is to begin to consider what are the things that are in your life that God could be bringing into the future, and to begin to prepare your life for walking into those things in a greater way and in a more powerful way. Remember, your life is God's. It's not your own. And I used in the description of this session, I used the words fearless courage, radical dependence on God, You may look foolish or dangerous, and I'm just going to point out to you that it's at this point in the session that this is where the rubber meets the road in relation to some of those things, because as you begin to consider your future assignments and begin to take action steps on those, people may look at you in a different way. They may say to you, well, that's just a little bit too radical. Well, aren't you thinking about your future? Don't you think it would just be a little bit better to just do this, because you could be a little better off in the future financially, or you could have this in your life in a better way if you just did it this way. Sometimes you need to listen to that advice, and I'm going to talk about that in just a moment, but there are other times when you need to block some of those voices because you know what God is calling you to do, and you need to be able to walk forward with courage, depending totally on God. So as we walk into what our future assignments are, one of the things that we really need to begin to do in the age that you are at, and even in the age that I'm at, with many years left in my life, I believe, is to really stop and think about what are the things that I'm going to need for my future assignments. Number one, obviously, at the very core of everything we do is you need a relationship with God so that you can have a very clear line of thinking, so you can have a very clear line of thought, a very clear line of communication between you and the Lord of heaven, which is leading you. And that starts with a relationship with God. You know, in my life, I shared with you just a little bit ago that there was a time that I was in my 20s when I just said, I don't know God enough. Like, what's wrong? And I took my time to stop and evaluate and then just begin to put some action steps in my life to begin to pursue God in that way. So take the time. It's not rocket science. It takes getting down on your knees. It takes reading your Bible. It takes just immersing yourself in the love of the Heavenly Father and also in walking with Him every day of your life. Obviously, Bible training is a huge part of who you are as a person and who your ministry is going to be. You know, I'll just share something from my life. A number of years ago, when I was during that time period, I came across Alan Roth, which I just saw this morning here, and he probably has no idea the effect that he had on my life. I saw his life, and I saw what he had done, and I saw souls that he had won, and I said, that's what I want. What do I need to do to end up where he's ending up? I think that's the trajectory that I want for my life. And so I actually took a time and I scheduled a personal interview with him, and I just said, what did you do when you were my age to change the trajectory of your life? And one of the things that he shared with me, he said, Brent, get all the Bible training you can get. You'll never regret it. And because of that, I made decisions and went to Bible school and spent months and months and months of my life in that. And because of that, my whole entire life has changed. That piece of advice changed my life. Another thing that I want to just point out to you, it doesn't have to be something super spiritual, but just skills that you need to be developed to walk into your destiny. You know, I work in the PR and fundraising part of our ministry, and when we have volunteers that go to the field and I suddenly discover this person has some writing abilities, they love to write. You know what, if I find someone like that, if one of you are ever that day, I am your best friend. I love when I find someone that can actually articulate what they're seeing and experiencing, and I can walk beside you to say, hey, just give me pieces so that I can publish what is happening and what God is doing in the world. Developing simple things like writing through, going through courses or going to college is a powerful thing. For my life, I loved learning. And so I realized one day, part of my call is to go to college and develop what God has put inside me to use. But it doesn't even have to be something like that. Maybe some of you say, you know, school is not what I want to do. One of the things that God showed me to do in my life, and I'm just a little bit scared about sharing this because some of your parents may talk to me later about it, but I had remembered as a child that I had been at a friend's house and he had bought himself a small cycle. I wasn't a child, I was a teenager. He bought his little cycle and he said, hey, do you want to try this out a little bit? And so I got on it and I drove about 5 feet and I was right there by a ditch and I couldn't even control it. It was roomed down in the ditch. Well, the reason I share that with you is because I was scared of a cycle, to even drive a cycle, and I started realizing if I'm going to have a cross-cultural ministry, and if I'm going to walk in places like that, I heard lots of stories of my friends renting motorbikes to get around, and I thought, I'm going to get in this uncomfortable situation where I don't even know how to run this, and they're going to say, you're an adult, and what's wrong with you? And so I looked around, and I found this, for the purpose of ministry, this small little cycle for $500, and I thought, well, I think I could handle that, and I bought it, and I actually learned to drive it. But then there was a humorous moment that came later when I met my wife, and my future mother-in-law found out that I had this little cycle, and she said, I didn't really know you were kind of like a motorcycle type of guy. And I didn't know really what to say because I said, well, I'm actually really not. I got it for ministry. And she sort of scratched her head. I remember thinking that sounds a little interesting. And obviously I was trying to impress her and I didn't like that uncomfortable feeling. But I'm pointing that out to you to just share that there's all kinds of things and skills that God may lead you to do that might not look quite like the ordinary person on the outside, but they're to lead you to a destiny. Now, I do need to point out to you as you think about and consider your assignments that there is something else, is that not always when you start to begin to walk on this path is everything perfect in your life. And I just want to give you a warning that the enemy will also possibly come against you. And I have seen this numerous times in my life when I suddenly realized that there was distractions in my life that started taking me away from the assignments that God had in my life. And I just want to point out to you, be on guard from those distractions. There's all kinds of things that will try to steal your time, and the enemy will be very, very faithful to try to put them in front of you and to subtly hide them in ways that you don't understand until suddenly you wake up months or even years later and suddenly realize this has been a distraction. This took away from the assignments that were on my life. And I'm just going to name a few that many of us know very obviously, but in reality, anything that steals or anything that takes too much of our time or anything that is out of balance can be a distraction. Technology can be a tremendous distraction. Technology, recreation, where it gets to the point where it's way out of balance, can be a distraction. Sometimes just even a simple thing like walking and doing things for yourself can become suddenly a distraction when you realize that that is not what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to be doing this, and I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time, and I'm not walking into the assignments that God has for me. Second part of this warning that I want to give to you is something that I've experienced numerous times in my life, and I'm actually really, really identifying it in this last year in my life. And that's the fact that there are times in my life when I was doing what I knew was God's assignment, and I would do it day after day. And to be honest with you, eventually it became fairly comfortable. I enjoyed that assignment. I enjoyed that. And I tend to be a person that loves stability, and I love to know what's expected the next day. And so I would start clinging a little bit to my assignment. I would cling it just a little bit too hard. And I realized one day, looking back at my life, that there's clear moments in my life that I can see that God was trying to prune things in my life out. And it took me a period of time to unclaw myself from them. If God says in John 15:2, he says that if he really loves you, it says, every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And God will do that in your life if you are really walking with him. And so be aware that there's going to be times in your life that he's going to take things out of your life, good things out of your life. He may just say, you know what? This assignment is not completely done, but your part of it is done. And now I'm going to pass this to someone else because I have a new challenge and a new assignment for you in your life. And this takes blind obedience. It takes blind obedience to the will of the Father and to walking with what he is clearly showing you and to begin to walk into the greater things that God has for you. I've been really, really challenged in the last probably 5 to 10 years as I've read my children numerous stories from missionaries and people that have walked with the Lord. And one thing that I see that's a common theme through many of them is there's some point in their life where they have to completely change from this to a radical change to another direction. One man that I read in the last year, his name is Chris Panos, a man that I had never heard of before. Very, very wealthy person, had been a very evil person. And at one point, God radically took over his life. He had businesses he was running. And one day as he was walking with God, God just said, sell it all. And he pondered it a little bit, but he was so resolved to follow God with all of his life that he came home and he told his wife that. And then he went to his business partner and said, I need to get rid of this. God just told me to sell it. And there was lots of people around him that kept trying to help him make excuses. Well, maybe you could just kind of step out of the business and then those funds could still come back in. And he said, no, God said, sell it all. I'm supposed to get rid of it. He sold everything he had and he took all of the money and gave it all away to the point where he didn't even have enough money to buy food for his family. And then he just trusted God in blind faith. In fact, as I was reading the book, he wrote in the book that he said, if it wouldn't have been for people inviting me over for supper, we would have gone hungry some nights. That's how radical he was to follow exactly to the letter of the law what God had told him to do, to walk in anointing that God has for him. And because of that power came out of his life at a later time that was very evident that the presence of God was with him in his life. Another young lady that I've read the story several times to our children is a lady named Lillian Trasher. And as I read this story, my mind continues to just be amazed at how someone would have the courage to obey God to this level. She was a young lady, and several days before she was to be married, a missionary came to her church and just presented the vision for a place across the world. And she went home and ended up being up all night and began to cry because she realized, this is what the call is for my life, and I need to change the directions. And she went in the next few days and told her husband, which obviously was longing for that marriage, and said, I'm going to go into ministry. I can't walk with you. And he said, well, I'll wait till you get back. And she said, don't wait for me, because it's a lifetime. I'm going to follow what God's call is in my life. And so she broke her engagements within like a week of when she was going to be married because of what she believed God had for her. And he did work very powerfully in her life. And now I want to just go to a further point to think about what it takes to actually have blind obedience like that. The third point that I really want to make to you today is that you will need a team. If you are going to follow what God has fully in your life, you're going to need a team around you. And if you look at Scripture, it's very evident that God created us to need people and to need each other. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise." It will behoove you to find wise men in your life, people that you can ask questions and people that you can follow and people that you can walk with and around. And so your number one thing at this point in your life is to begin to find wise men and women in your life that can guide you on those steps. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, "A threefold cord is not easily broken." I want to just describe to you a little bit in some of the coming minutes what it takes to actually find that cord that's around you. There are many people that God brings us across their path. And some of these people God has ordained for certain times and certain seasons to walk with us. And these are part of the cords that he weaves around our life. Be aware when you see a cord around you that you believe God is sending to you to begin to walk with that person as well, because you have a ministry into their life as well. All through Scripture, God had people and he showed them that they needed somebody. Adam obviously was given Eve. It says in the Bible, he needs something. He needs a helpmeet, and he was given a helpmeet. Jesus actually sent his disciples out in twos. He didn't send them out one by one. He sent them out in twos because he knew that they needed a team. They needed to walk forward as a team. And any true assignment that you have, if you're going to really walk it out to the full level that you need to, or at least any big assignment that God gives you, will have an element of the impossible in it. And you will need to depend on other people to be able to walk it out fully. The other part of that is the fact that as you are walking your assignments out, and as you are walking out big assignments in your life, there are going to be things where you will ask for guidance. And if you have no one else around you, you will not be sure, is someone giving me wisdom, or are they just giving me negative words saying, nah, that won't really work. Both could be true in any given case, depending how the situation goes. But you need people around you that will know your heart and that will know what God is doing in your life, that will sense what he's doing in your life, and that will walk with you and help you discern what is negative words as opposed to wisdom, or another way to say it would be faith versus logic in your mind. Years ago, when my wife and I were trying to help me get through college, we lived on a very, very low budget. And we continually were living by faith, just depending on God for our daily needs and for situations that would enable us to continue in that path to be able to get through without coming out of college with debt. And I remember one time talking to someone, he was actually one of the leaders in my life, and he said, well, how do you pay your bills? Like, how do you pay for you and your wife and for your two children to eat? And I said, well, we just live by faith. And I'm not, I understand his question, but he said, yes, but like, you still have to have money. Like, you have to have money. And I didn't know how to tell him, no, we literally live by faith. Well, sometimes a neighbor will come and say, I was at the homeless shelter and I had a little bit extra food from the food pantry or something of that nature. And said, would you use it? It's going to spoil. And we would use that food. We had all kinds of unique places and ways that God provided for each one of our needs. We lived by faith. And if we would have thought and said and looked at the logic part, it didn't make sense. There was many times I couldn't figure out, how are we making it on $11,000 a year with two children? I don't know, but somehow we're eating and we're living and God's taking care of us. So God will help you walk through those situations, but you will need cords of people around you that can walk with you as a team. So I'm going to just talk a little bit about that part of your life. And this is my third action step. And this is just and I got ahead of myself a little bit. I just want to define just a little bit what are teams in your life. So just think about the types of teams currently that you have in your life, and then we're going to talk a little bit about future teams. But just define a little bit what the future team, what the teams are in your life currently. Some of the teams that you're in your life are your mom and your dad, your friends, those that are around you that know you very well. Other teams are your church, people that are in your youth group, people that are walking with you, even people that are at work with you. Maybe there's friendships that are very especially close friendships in your life. Maybe teachers, mentors that you're walking with. These are all part of the teams that God has placed around you. And every one of us has multiple teams in our life, multiple ways that we're walking with people. And we are walking with them on their team as well as they walking with us. So find those people in your life and start defining a little bit right now what are the teams that are in your life. But now I want to just talk to you a little bit about specifically looking for the teams of people that are in your life. Where are those people that you need? There are friends that you will need to walk with that will walk with you closely in your life. Many times we may end up walking with someone and they become our prayer partner, and those are powerful teams to have around us. I know of a young lady that is in a part of a group of 16-year-olds around that age group that walks with some friends every Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. They have a prayer for the Middle East, and we don't know with those young ladies whether God will call them to the Middle East or not, but we do know that they are a team and they're focusing on the same goal, and those friendships that they have that they're forming will ultimately help them and guide them to be faithful with whatever God brings in their life, because they're teams of people that are becoming threefold, fourfold, fivefold cords to strengthen them in the passion that God has put on their heart. There are many different types of teams. I walk with a team that I meet with every 4 to 6 weeks of men that we spend several hours together, and that's a team that gives me incredible strength in my life. The older that I get and the longer that I walk with them, the more that I feel the strengthening backbone of that in my life. Find young men or young ladies that are close to your age or even older or younger and begin to form a team with them and allow them to be that support system in your life and to begin to walk with you in your life and to help you to walk forward into the destinies that you have for your life. And now I want to just go to a question here. Very, very simple question. Why? We really need to answer the question, why? And we need to answer it in a deeper way. Why did I say to you the three things that I chose, that I said to you? You are chosen, you have an assignment, and you need a team. The reason that I said that is because, you know, you could just ask that question and say, why? Is it just simply to have a goal so that you can have a life filled with purpose? A resounding no. It's not just so that you can have a life filled with purpose. It's because of God. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because that He is worthy of you. It is because you are called to build the kingdom of God. The Lord's Prayer, Christ prayed this. It should be a prayer that every one of us prays every day. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The why behind all of this, the why that we form teams, the why that we understand that we're chosen and begin to take action steps and concentrate on the assignments to maximize our time. The why is because we're chosen to build the kingdom of God, and we're chosen to glorify God through that, through our life in that way. Matthew 16 verse 19, and I'm reading this out of the Amplified Version, says, "Do not gather and heap up or store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust and worm consume and destroy and where thieves break through and steal. But gather and heap up and store for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust nor worm consume and destroy and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You will know toward the end of your life what you have put your treasure in, because you will see what you have as a result for what you have walked through in your life. And I have something I want to share with you. It's just a message that I believe God also wants to give to you today. God is actually raising an army. And he wants to ask you a question. Will you be part of it? Let me share something with you that has been very powerful in my life that I've seen in the last year. Last summer, I was in the place that we work as a ministry. And as I was there, a young man that just came to the door of the house of one of the places where I was staying came and sat with me and we talked. And he had come a day before that. And he said to the man that was there, he said, "I've been watching you for 3 or 4 years. And I know that you have light. I need what you have. What is your book that you have that would give me light, that I can take to my people and give them light? And we said, we have something. We have a book. It's called the Bible. And this is what he commented. He said, no, I'm not talking about the Bible. He said, I see Christians and I know Christians follow the Bible, but you aren't like other Christians. I need your book, the one that your people use. And it took a period of time, in fact, months, for us to convince him that the book that we're following is actually the Bible. We're trying to follow it line by line, and we're trying to live by exactly what it says. And we have convinced him of that. I'll give you an update on that story, though. 2 weeks ago, our chairman was there sitting with this same man, a man that I know fairly well just from my interaction with him. And he said to him, he said, our family has some authority. Our people recognize our family, and we are starting a new village. We have 100 to 150 tents that are set up. We're beginning to build houses in this particular place. And he said, we need what you have. Will you send a family to live with us to give us light so that we can have it for our people? He said, the house that I have, the block house, my wife and I will go live in a tent, and we will give that house to your family. And as we dialogued, we said, you know, this is a hard thing you're asking. We're not sure if we can have someone right away. We're not sure if someone will come. And he said, surely they will come. If they're real Christians, they will obey what Jesus says. If God calls them to go, they will obey, won't they? Those that are not truly following the Lord won't come, but the ones that will come, those are the ones that are truly following the Lord, right? You'll have people that will come, right? You know, we scratched our heads a little bit worrying, how do we fulfill that? How do we help him understand that not everyone that hears goes, that not everyone that God calls goes and does what he says? Because they are not fully looking at what their assignments are on their life. So I want to just leave you with the thought today. What will you do with your life? Will you take it and spend it for yourself? Or will you allow that your life, the one life that God gave you, to be used in an obedient way to Christ? It really comes down to one thing. It comes down to obedience to God's commands in your life. It comes down to walking with God in a powerful way, walking with God closely, knowing what his assignments are, and then walking forward into the future with those assignments on each one of our life and watching them bear fruit and give us maximizing the life that we have for the glory of God. And that is the message that I have for you today, is learn to follow God in full obedience. And if you will walk with him in full obedience in your life, you will maximize the years that you have. This is not just for those of you that are in this audience that are young. This is a message for all of us at any age in our life. We have to always be walking in the steps of obedience to continue to maximize the years ahead of us in our life. And so why don't we just do this? I was trying to think how to close this session. You know, really, in reality, it comes back to each one of us making a commitment in our heart. What will we do with the years that God has given us? And I would love to just have us all bow our heads and really think about that word, obedience, in our life, and ask God the question, how can I obey you? What's one thing that I can do that I can obey you in my life right now with my assignments? So I would love for you to just bow your heads right now. And I'm going to give you a few moments to ask God that question. What is it in my life that you want a greater obedience in? And then we'll just pray as a group. And I would just challenge you, if there's something in your life that you know that God begins to tap on your heart right now, to just take that time in your life right now to make that commitment in your life. So let's just quiet our hearts before him. Father, we bless you for your mercy and love in our life that has called us out. You've called every one of us to walk with you. Lord, we thank you so much for the fact that we're chosen, that each one of us were chosen by you when we were conceived, and we were chosen with work that you wanted us to do and assignments you wanted us to give, that we can walk in your purposes. And God, I just, in your presence this morning, I pray, God, for your spirit to move among every one of us here. Move in my heart, Lord, to help me to have greater obedience and desire to walk in all that you have for my life, Lord, so that it can be maximized to your full potential, that those around me can see you. They can see the glory of the Lord shining in the heavens and in all of the things that my hand finds to do, Lord, that you can build my house and you can build these people's, their lives on the solid rock. Lord, I pray for each person here to feel your presence, to walk in your presence, and to walk in all that you have for them to the fullest extent, that you would have for their life. And God, I just pray for commitments that are being made here to be solidified by a stake being driven somewhere, a commitment being made by action steps being taken to help those things to come to pass, that they can change courses if there's things in their life that are not on the course that you would have for them. God, we just want to bless you for the fact that you put people around us to walk with us, and you walk with us all the days of our life until our dying breath. And we thank you, God, for that powerful promise that we have from you, that you will never leave us and you will never forsake us, and you will walk with us fully as we turn our hearts toward you with our lives. And I just pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. All recordings from Reach 2022 are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. To purchase additional recordings from Reach or other Faith Builders events, visit us online at www.christianlearning.org or call us at 814-789-4769.